And welcome to the second ever episode of What If Sports. I'm Ben Dixon, alongside Douglas Tatuka, Michael Garaffa. I'm happy to be here. Let's get right to it. We're going to start off here. Oh, before we start, how you guys doing today?
I'm doing well. Very excited to partake in the second ever What If show. The first one was a success. I just wanted to correct myself from the first show. His name is Bowie, not Bowie, correct?
Yeah, Sam Bowie.
Yeah, Sam Bowie, not Sam Bowie.
I had it as Bowie.
Like the singer.
Like the thing. Yeah, David Bowie.
Yeah.
Sorry. Doing well. We're excited for another day of the What If show, so let's get going.
All right, let's do it. So we're going to start off here with what if Carmelo Anthony was never traded to the Knicks. Doug, you can get us going here.
Well, this is a very interesting one. Carmelo Anthony, a pretty solid player in the NBA for his career. His production has diminished as of late, really not on a team right now. But what if he was never traded from the Denver Nuggets to the New York Knickerbockers? Carmelo Anthony, he's been an all NBA team member 6 times. He's been to the All-Star game 10 times, and he won a national championship as a freshman 2003 at Cuse. And he won the tournament's most outstanding player. So he started his career off pretty well. Got drafted by the Denver Nuggets, had a couple pretty successful seasons there, and was then shipped off to the New York Knicks, where he played the majority of his career. Definitely a very, very good player with the New York Knicks, just never got himself into the NBA championship or that far into the NBA playoffs. And it's just been a tough road for him, where he's been shipped off. He was on the Nuggets 2003 to 2011, Knicks from 2011 to 17. Then he was with the OKC Thunder for a short stint, 17 to 18, and as well with the Rockets in 18 to 19. And now he's on the Chicago Bulls, kind of in an opt-out. They're trying to work out with the buyout. He won't play with the Chicago Bulls. But it's been an interesting career for this guy. But if he stayed with Denver, I don't know if he would really be too hyped up. You know, Denver is a smaller market. New York is it's the Big Apple. You know, it's the mecca for media. It's huge media presence there. You're playing at Madison Square Garden every night, and for about 7 seasons, he was in New York, pretty much a fan favorite throughout his tenure. Just wasn't able to get himself that far into the playoffs and just wasn't able to really make a splash.
Well, if you're looking at it here, I mean, from a Knicks standpoint, doesn't really change. You have minimal playoff appearances with Carmelo Anthony, the franchise. Obviously, as we know, it didn't end well with Carmelo, and now the laughingstock of the league, hoping to bank that number one pick. But from a Knicks standpoint, if Carmelo Anthony's never traded, I really don't think it would have altered the franchise drastically, because it's not like he improved the franchise drastically. Maybe you lose some more games, you start rebuilding earlier than you think. At the time the Knicks acquired Carmelo Anthony, they were 28-26. So it was obviously a move to
spark something,
go up the standings in the Eastern Conference and try and make a run. But obviously, as we know now, none of that ever happened. They lost a few playoff series, and bam, that was it. Carmelo Anthony, obviously the fan favorite, but in my opinion, if you're looking at it from the Knicks' point of view, it's not really that different. I think it's more from a personal standpoint, and maybe even the Denver Nuggets standpoint, if that's what you want to look at.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who definitely he changed the scenery for the Knicks, no matter what. I mean, he came in, the Knicks did get better. It was a lot like with the Mets when they got Cespedes, except it didn't really pull them that far. But you know, I remember watching those playoffs the first year that Carmelo was on the team and they made it. And I loved watching the Knicks in the playoffs. I mean, you had Amari Stoudemire, Melo. They were a dynamic duo. They would really, they worked well together. And the Knicks did well when those two guys were on the court. And the energy was a lot higher. He's overall was one of the great players in his time when he was doing well. But He fell off. And you know what? You got to say the Knicks probably wouldn't have been even close to relevant at all if they never traded for him. So, I mean, maybe they went out and traded for somebody better who could have impacted them in the long run. I'm sure they might have had other fallback options if Melo didn't work out. But it definitely he was a big turning point for that franchise.
Yeah, Melo, We're not saying that Melo hasn't really had any success.
He's had a great career.
Yeah, he's been he's played for the United States in the men basketball in the Olympics. He's had a lot of success there. As we know, USA basketball pretty much takes over. And he also won a Cuse, like I said before. But once Melo was drafted, he led the Nuggets to the playoffs every year from 2014 to 2010. He won two division titles in that span. In 2009, Anthony led the Nuggets to their first conference finals appearance since 1985. So this is an interesting point here. If the Nuggets were in the playoffs from 04 to 2010 with Carmelo Anthony, and he stays with the Denver Nuggets, he's the centerpiece of the franchise. He still has plenty of years left. Maybe they bring in a big free agent who was available at the time. That was 2010. That was a long time ago. So you'd have to look back at the available free agents, but there's always has to be talent out there in the offseason. So I agree with Ben where from the Knicks standpoint, it's pretty much the same. They gave up a couple pieces to acquire Melo. They had some brief success with Stoudemire, as you said, and Anthony, but were just never able to make a full run and get that championship. But from the Nuggets standpoint, they could have made a run, depending on their draft picks, depending on free agency pickups, because Melo at that time was a centerpiece. He was a star in the NBA, and that shows why he's a 10-time All-Star and was one of the best players in the league at one point.
Yeah, definitely a Hall of Famer, Carmelo Anthony. Probably not going to get that ring at this point in his career. We'll see what happens. But you look at Carmelo and the Nuggets, really right as the time he was leaving, it was really before the super team era. So it was before you get LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, and obviously way before the Golden State Warriors. So maybe they could have had some success there if they added another piece. But that's the part that's up to debate. I think the what if Carmelo question is more based on the Nuggets and himself personally.
Agreed.
Compared to the Knicks' success. But I will move on to the next question. I'm a big fan of this one. Football here. What if the Seahawks run the ball with Marshawn Lynch on the one-yard line in Super Bowl 49 and beat Tom Brady?
I mean, it changes the whole perspective of the league right there. The Seahawks would have won their Super Bowl. They would have knocked off Tom Brady. Tom Brady would be now sitting at, well, we wouldn't really know that. See, that's how it affects it. If he loses that Super Bowl right there,
yeah, maybe Brady's not the greatest quarterback of all time, but one of them.
Exactly, it's still up for debate. You know, things have went his way in playoffs, in games. It seems to always tilt towards Tom Brady. He figures out ways to win, and in that case, Seattle found a way to lose that game on the 1 yard line, first down, Marshawn Lynch in your backfield. And you throw a short slant that's picked off by Malcolm Butler. But Tom Brady, if he doesn't win that Super Bowl, if we want to continue his legacy on just with that loss put in place, he would be sitting at four Super Bowls, not five, contesting for the one this Sunday. So, I mean, does it really change that much? We would have to go back in time and really play through it and think. It's probably in one of the multiverses where where they run the ball with Marshawn Lynch and get in. But it could definitely have an effect on Tom Brady's legacy and his overall statistics.
Yeah, I actually do remember this. I remember seeing it in the news. And, you know, I watched that play and I was like, you know, that's just stupid. I don't know why he wouldn't run the ball there. And that was me knowing very little about the NFL other than my Madden mobile days. So, I mean, I was like, you know what? It's stupid. He should have ran the ball, gotten it in. But you think, I mean, I remember that was really deflating for the Seahawks when they lost that game. That deflated them a lot. You wonder if they win that game, it could have boosted their momentum for the future. And they might have actually won a few more Super Bowls. They might have continued their success. And they might have done a lot better because Russell Wilson after that, I mean, yeah, he was good. But he wasn't that elite quarterback that he used to be seen as because, you know what, people were questioning their decision making and why they chose to do that. So, it could have changed the whole. It could have made the Patriots not the front runners. They might have lost their momentum a little bit there, and the Seahawks might have gained the momentum there, and they might have been the Patriots that we look at today, saying, "Well, they're the ones winning all the time."
Well, yeah, I think the whole play calling thing falls more on Pete Carroll than
totally.
It does on Russell Wilson.
Well,
but I think if you win that game, I'm looking more at the long term ripple effects for the Seahawks. You're regarding Russell Wilson as maybe the best quarterback in the game.
Yeah,
he would have had two Super Bowls. That's more than Aaron Rodgers has. That'd be more than Drew Brees has, who are two of the, top five, top 10 quarterbacks of all time.
Yep.
Definitely Rodgers. And, but And then you look at a guy like Marshawn Lynch, obviously retired a couple of years later, just like during the Super Bowl 1 year, tweeted a picture of him hanging up his shoes and saying he was retired. Obviously, we knew it wasn't for good. He came back in the league after that. Does he continue to be that beastly presence for the Seahawks and something that attracts other offensive skill players to come? I mean, when you look at the Seahawks wide receivers, especially this year, guys like Tyler Lockett, Doug Baldwin, obviously great in his prime, getting up there in age a little bit. But you see guys who are good offensive players but not great players. You have a guy like Marshawn Lynch in the backfield, he changes everything. You're like, all right, he's a guy I want to come play with. And Russell Wilson, obviously an elite quarterback in the NFL now, but could have been regarded as maybe the best. Who knows if he won that ring, maybe led to one or two others. But it's definitely up for debate, that part.
Yeah, and you also have to think maybe the Legion of Boom stays together in that secondary with Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor. You got Earl Thomas as well. They still have Bobby Wagner there at middle linebacker, but if that group stays together, Dan Quinn probably stays because they would never have you don't want to predict that they wouldn't have any failures after that, but two Super Bowl wins. Maybe Dan Quinn gets the call to the big leagues right there and then and is put off to another team not named the Atlanta Falcons. So you have to look at that from a coaching standpoint. Obviously, Pete Carroll's still there, and deservedly so. They won the Super Bowl in 2013. They went 16-3, and they dominated Denver 43-8 in that Super Bowl. And
the Meadowlands game, that was awful.
Just a complete annihilation of Denver, and that would have been back-to-back Super Bowls for Pete Carroll. His name is put into the discussion for the Hall of Fame right there. If you can go back-to-back, belly-to-belly, I mean, I don't know what's better than that in a sport. But you'd have to think that the Seahawks would still be, would still have that core together. The defensive players would be dominating on the defensive side, where they have lacked recently. They've gotten younger, and they had struggled, not this year, but the year previous. This year, they sort of figured some stuff out with the run game, and some of the young players stepped up. But if they kept that core together, you never know what they could have done. They could have went on to win multiple Super Bowls. It just seems like it kind of deflated Seattle after that loss. You know, you're so close but so far just because of one play call, and it backfires on you.
Yeah, 100%. And, Doug, you said the Legion of Boone on accident.
I was going to say.
Before Boone, that kind of leads right into our next question, our baseball question this week. What if Aaron Boone does not hit the big homer to send the Yankees to the World Series in Game 7 of the 2003 ALCS?
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting one. That's definitely a top five thing in the Yankees. I mean, without a doubt, that is why Aaron Boone is the manager today, and that's why he was relevant. Without that home run, Yankees don't go to the World Series. Without that home run,
well,
necessarily. They might not have gone to the World Series, and, you know, the super Yankees might have been a little less super, but you think about Aaron Boone and his ripple effects. He never was the best of players, but he had that one moment that made him stand out. It was kind of like Wilmer Flores with his big home run. But Aaron Boone carrying the Yankees on his back right there with one swing, and it's really huge to see a guy like that who's not necessarily known as being the best of players to do something so spectacular, but certainly certainly some ripple effects from that.
Yeah, and this is just something interesting. He was only a New York Yankee for one season. That was 2003. That's when he made his first and only All-Star appearance. His career statistics in the MLB, 263 hitter, 126 homers, 555 runs batted in. And now he's the New York Yankee manager. So that's really where we wanted to go with this. How does this home run really affect Aaron Boone now? Only, as I said, only one season with the New York Yankees. He did make an All-Star appearance, and he's huge in Yankee history for that 2003 ALC homer to push him to the World Series. But Aaron Boone, if he never hits that home run, as you said, Yankees most likely not going to the World Series. And Aaron Boone is not even in contention for the New York Yankees managerial job. He would still be in the booth. He maybe wouldn't even be in the booth.
Yeah, he'd
for ESPN.
That's where I was going to start.
Put him on the map.
Exactly. The home run did put him on the map. He's not working for ESPN baseball tonight or Sunday night baseball if he never hits that home run. And obviously that that whole broadcast situation there brought his baseball IQ to the prominence that it reached. Obviously, the Yankees manager now, nothing we can do about that. Hopefully, he succeeds for Doug and I's health purposes. And, yeah, I mean, it really just is an interesting question because he's the type of guy that obviously not a star in the major leagues, but his baseball mind kind of prevailed after that one big moment, and good for him, worked out that way. But let's just say if that home run didn't happen, it'd be a lot different.
And you know what? We're not saying Aaron Boone is a bad manager.
No, he's not. No, he's
162 record in his first MLB managerial stint. It's a .617 winning percentage. It's pretty solid. But we've explained it on the Colts Corner. We had our little rant session at the beginning of the year. We spoke about what we disliked from Aaron Boone and how he got outmanaged by Alex Cora. But it really does affect a whole lot. 2003 is a long time ago. That's about 16 years ago. Yeah, that's a decade and a half right there of history that really would affect the New York Yankees franchise as a whole. And Aaron Boone would most likely not be the New York Yankees manager. He would probably just be a regular retired guy, maybe would have his one all-star appearance in 2003, and just really an average player, you know, retire and just continue his life out. That home run put him on the map, got him going, joined ESPN, got an interview for the Yankee job, and that's all she wrote.
Yeah, just one last thing. You know, you think about it, too. If he's not the manager, they might have had another player who might have actually led the Yankees to the World Series this year. They might have won. So everybody's got different managerial styles. You might have gotten a manager who would have been better for the Yankees in the spot that they were in, and they might have ended up going on and winning the World Series this year. So a lot of things you could think about with such a small and very important thing that happened.
I just want to think about this one thing quick. Joe Girardi pretty much got fired before the playoffs began, pretty much mid-season. The Yankees knew they weren't going to bring him back for the next year. Many could say that it was because of his playoff performance, how he did. He missed those couple challenges, wasn't 100%, really almost got outmanaged. But the Yankees really picked him up, got him going. We made that small run. Aaron Boone, same mistakes. And he's back for year two. You believe it's just they're giving him a longer leash. Obviously, do they not just want to fire him after the first year? Because Joe Girardi got fired for pretty much the same mistakes that Aaron Boone did. That Aaron Boone made.
Well, 1 year, you got to give him a little more than
right.
that. Girardi was obviously there for a while. Should even been gone, in my opinion. Probably not.
Agreed.
But the rest is history. You know, it can't control anything else.
Yeah, but I'm saying if this is the year that if this is your core, this is who you're going with. You think you have a chance to compete for a World Series, you got to have a short leash with these guys.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? If Joe Girardi wasn't the guy, how is Aaron Boone the guy? I don't know.
I don't think he is, but
exactly.
He'll get at least another year.
We'll see what happens.
The intrigue is why we do this podcast, kind of get just the what if out there, trying to answer that question. And no Colts Corner today. We covered it all on a Thursday, 4-part show, all on YouTube. Search West TV or Hills West Roundup. It'll come up on there. And alongside Michael Garafa, Douglas Latuca, I'm Benjamin Dixon. Thanks for listening. Tune into all our content next week and check out the YouTube. Thanks for joining us.